Well, hi, church. For those of you that don't know me, my name is Steele Crosswhite. I am one of the pastors here. I'm not going to keep you long, but I do want to recognize with you, there is something very magical about Christmas, isn't there? There's something magical about it. It really is my favorite time of year beyond the chaos of the shopping and the seemingly endless to-dos. There really is a peace in this season, in all of it, a collective anticipation. I remember as a boy looking at our Christmas tree and thinking about the wonder of it all. Specifically, I remember holding the magical tree ornaments in my hand. They were small but so beautiful. Some of them were these little toys or these tiny little green drums that we now have on our Christmas tree now that my mom has passed away. Other ornaments were these glass angels or hand-carved wood shepherds. And instinctively, even as a little person, I knew that something wonderful was coming. Something more than I could express. There was an otherness about Christmas. It's hard to explain, really. It felt peaceful. One memory I remember as a young adult involved my dad and music. I was 17 years old, and my dad and I were leading the music at a church in town for their Christmas Eve services, and that particular church had four services for their Christmas Eve services and one midnight mass. And we came home before the final midnight service, as we had a couple of hours before that service began. And when we arrived in our living room, my dad shut off all the lights of the house. He turned on the Christmas tree. He lit a fire in the fireplace. He lit some candles, and he played the old familiar Christmas songs from Nat King Cole. And we just sat there in silence. And song after song rolled through this player of the speakers. And to this day, right now, it is one of my fondest memories I have of both Christmas and my father. But even then, it wasn't just the music or the mood in the room. Inside of me, there was this bursting anticipation as a young man, a certainty of there being something far more than what I see right now, an otherness to the feeling I had. It was the most tangible feeling I had of peace. And as a child, I used to think that that feeling was the eagerness of receiving gifts or the magic of Santa Claus. But over time, I came to realize that gifts lose their luster, so that couldn't be it. And as an adult, I thought maybe that feeling came from giving gifts or the thought of picking out just the right gift for the person that you love. And even though that is so wonderful, still that anticipation I experienced about Christmas was way deeper, far more meaningful than that. Looking into it more, mystics would say that that feeling is a hidden thing. They would describe it as a secret, specifically a religious secret, not to be initiated or communicated with ordinary mortals. In other words, a feeling for some people, but not for all. A feeling that's wrapped around secrecy and ceremony. And as I grew in age and wisdom, I began to understand more deeply that the story of Christmas, the idea of shepherds on a hillside and angels in the sky and the virgin looking for an inn and a baby in a manger, was more than just a story or a fable or a myth, but rather it was the answer to this deeply rooted sense of peace. It was no longer a mystery, as the mystics would say, but this tangible, public, worldwide answer to what I've been looking for, to what all of us have been looking for, the answer of peace. But peace is an interesting thing, isn't it? Before a person can truly experience peace, there first has to be this existence of a restlessness, a feeling of trouble or chaos, a distance from peace itself. And sadly, you and I, we don't have to go far to experience that feeling of restlessness. Up and down our highways we can drive, advertisements that joy on the billboard is found through the best body or these increased body adjustments, creating in us this restlessness that maybe somehow we're not enough. Is it my body that gives me peace? Is that what it is? If I'm sculpted right, is that the answer? Or we go to the bookstore and it's lined with these self-help books promoting habits of peaceful living, because we know that we're living in a hurricane of trouble. And so our mind starts to question, I wonder if I'm taking the right oils to be peaceful. Am I eating the right foods? Do I have the right thinking patterns? Do I have the right career? Do I have enough money to be peaceful? And for most of us, if we're honest, this is all too familiar. But even now, as wise adults, we can see past the flimsy promises of peace through mechanisms like money or body sculpting or band-aid type promises. You see, for most of us, we understand that the real trouble isn't outside, it's inside. We don't need to go far to see how tumultuous we really are, how desperate we really are for peace, because it's right here in our own hearts. Maybe it's when everything kind of settles down at night and you put your head on the pillow and your questions start to roll through your head. How do I know that I'm loved? How do I know that I'm safe? How do I know I belong? How can I know if I'm forgiven? How do I know if I have a purpose? What do I do with the thoughts that I know I shouldn't be thinking? How do I repay the actions that I know I shouldn't have committed? How do I account for this undeniable presence, this thing of wrongness, what the Bible calls sin? And for many of us in this room, just knowing that we can, quote, be better or live better or do better does just the opposite of give us peace. It creates, in the name of getting peace, more restlessness and more work. You see, if we're honest, we really are troubled. We really are restless. We really are too distant from peace. We can't seem to reach it. We can't seem to attain it, but somehow we know it's there. No amount of self-improvement, self-help, or achievement can give it to us. It's like this shifting mirage of water for the desperate, dehydrated desert traveler. They see it, but they can't reach it. They can kind of feel it, but they can't soak in it. Maybe that's you tonight. And you're stuck on this treadmill. You're looking for peace. You're looking to things. You've caught a glimpse of it, but you don't know how to get it. The next 10 minutes are for you. Because we're talking about Christmas. I was right all along. I mean, what a wonderful thing to say as an adult that somehow as a kid, I had gifted insight that there really was something magical more and otherness to Christmas. And here it is. You've heard the verse, but I'm gonna say it clearly. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born. A son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, wait for it, Prince of Peace. Or we've heard it before, Matthew 1:23. We see it on the cartoons. We've heard it in the plays. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. You see, beyond mysticism or this do-it-yourselfness, there is a God, a real God who made you, who knows you intimately, every thought, every fear, who deeply loves you. And all around us, we see evidence of him through creation, through relationship, through art, through love. And you know, and I know, that deeply rooted in the human heart, there is a longing, a certainty of otherness, this instinctual need somehow to worship. And in fact, it's in every culture that has ever lived, ever, there has been worship. But this God that I'm talking about, this God of Christmas, this God of the Bible is not one that is reduced or minimized to mysticism or lifeless ritual or self-helping religious work. You see, this God that I'm talking about knows you right now. And knows that what you need most in your innermost being is quite simply peace. And he knows the restlessness and the endless cycle of intentional and unintentional sin that cannot just be swept away or worked away. It has to be dealt with once for all. And in this, the God that I'm talking about the God of Christmas reveals himself not through secrets of mysticism or in dark corners of self-religious work. No, this great love for humanity would flash across the sky in an unmistakable moment with great announcements bursting with clarity. I have come to save the world. I have come to bring peace. His name will be Jesus. And you can know him. And we do know the story, don't we? We just sang it. The familiar song. Year after year we sing it. Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It's the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error, pining till he appeared, and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees and hear the angel voices. O night divine, O night that Christ was born. But it's not just about his birth. Jesus came not to show us how to live, but he came to die in our place, to end our tireless reach for God. He came to die. He was born to die so we wouldn't have to be. So he would pay what we can't pay for, that he would raise to life after death as the only one who can offer perfect peace. You see, God is holy. That means perfect. And he understands that we could never reach him through our efforts. We could never find peace through self-work, self-help. We could never be or do enough. You see, Jesus coming to this earth, Christmas is about God coming down to you to offer you now and forever peace. What about those questions that trouble us at night? How do you know you're loved? Jesus came to prove his love in this, that while you and I were separated from him by our sin, he took our sin upon himself, paid the debt we could not pay to bring you salvation and peace. How do you know you're loved? You look at Christmas. How do you know that you're safe? As I am in the hands of the Lord, nothing in all of heaven or all of earth, hell itself, me, can separate myself from the love of Jesus. How do I know that? You look at Christmas. How do you know that you belong? Jesus, the maker of all that we see and know, came into that which was made, that he made, so that once and for all, with bursting clarity that would pass through generations, he would shout through that story, "You belong to me." How do you know that you belong? You look at Christmas. How do you know that you're forgiven? Jesus was born on Christmas morning so that one day he could die on the cross for you. He came not just to tell you, but to show you, in me is forgiveness of sins. How do you know that you are forgiven? How do you know that there's that offer? You look at Christmas. How do you know that you have purpose? For everything the Maker made has purpose. How do you know? You look at Christmas. What do you do with the thoughts that you know you shouldn't think? The ones that roll through your head, ones you know you can't get rid of. Matthew chapter 1:21, it's in the Christmas story. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save people from their sin. You look at Christmas. How do you repay the actions you know you should never have committed? The Bible says that our actions deserve hell, and that does sound harsh, and that is harsh because God is that holy, but it makes sweeter all the more the sound of the best Christmas present that could ever be given. Salvation, forgiveness of sins, free, gifted. You weren't meant to pay for the actions that you've committed. Jesus paid for the actions you committed. How do you know? You look at Christmas. Christmas proves to you and I once and forever that Jesus came so that you might know God. That you might know Jesus, know God in Jesus. Christmas came so that you could forever know that he came to claim you as his, that he came to give you peace. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, like Christmas, the present, the gift of his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Will you believe in him? This Christmas, when it's quiet, will you see the true peace in all of it? The peace that's found in him. That otherness, that sense of awe, it's real. His name is Jesus. Don't turn away from Christ at Christmas. Turn towards him. Look full in his wonderful face. Place your faith and trust in him. Come this Christmas to the Prince of Peace. And if that's you, it is so easy. It's gifted to you. He's waiting for you. You can talk to me after if you'd like. I'd love for you to know more about it. Let's pray, and we're going to sing one more song. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for Christmas. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done in Christmas, that you came to give the one and only thing that you can give, and that is gifted salvation. Lord, we thank you that this Christmas is not about the presents, it's not about the trees, it's not about the gifts, it's not about what we get, it's not about what we give, it's about what you gave in Christ. That Christmas exploded onto the scene with proclamations too big for us to understand, that you, God in the flesh, came to this earth and lived and died so that we might have peace with you. Some of us in this room, Lord, tonight, we're troubled, we're bothered. We know that we're lacking peace and we want it in the depth of our soul. And we admit that we've looked at so many other things to find peace. We've looked at money and friendships and relationships and stuff, and it's still not filling the void. It's because you're not there. I pray, Lord Jesus, that this Christmas they would receive you, the gift that only you can give, the gift of salvation. We love you, Lord. We thank you for that, oh, holy night. We say these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.